Please begin.
Erev Tov, good evening. The ongoing Kulturkampf between Yaakov and Esav has its inception in the prenatal struggle alluded to by the Medrash on the words of the Pasuk in the beginning of the Parsha of Toldos, Vayisrotzitzu Habonim Bekirba. What a language. Loshon Hisrotzitzus. It's actually a term that's used as well today in modern Hebrew. But it's a very pungent kind of term and carries with it a lot of meaning. The Medrash, in very graphic terms, describe the classic struggle between Yaakov and Esav that began in utero, and according to our Masorah, according to our tradition, will continue till the coming of Mashiach. Chazal derived this exegetically from the psukim that I mentioned in Vayishlach, in Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yudalid. The language of the Pasuk is Yaakov Avinu addressing Esav, Vani esnahala li'iti. Yaakov Avinu indicates that I'm going to move slowly. I will proceed in a slow kind of fashion. L'regel ha'yelodim asher l'fonai, l'regel ha'malacha, ad asher ovo l'adoni se'ira. So Rashi, in a very pithy kind of fashion, cites the Chazal. Hirchiv lo haderech, behu lo halach. Rashi says that the road was extended, but in effect, he never really traveled there. Ve'em asah yelech, when will this happen? B'mei ha-Mashiach. Shenema v'olu Moshiach be'hartzion lishvot asar Esav v'hoysel Hashem ha-Malucha. And those, the continuous struggle between Yaakov and Esav throughout the long night of Jewish history reflects the dictum of Chazal that the Ramban and other Rishonim expatiated at great length on this dictum of Chazal. Ma'aseh Avos, siman lebonim. The deeds of the Avos essentially are the contours of all Jewish history. They are signposts for our future. They augur and in effect dictate what's going to happen in Jewish history throughout the millennium. So this encounter between Yaakov and Esav is not simply an encounter between two personalities writ large. It's an ongoing saga between two nations, between Yisrael and Edom, between Rome and Jerusalem, between two cultures, between two worlds that are separated by a gulf, an abyss that's well nigh unbridgeable. Chazal tell us in the following statement, describe this chasm. Romi v'Yerushalayim, Rome and Jerusalem. Im yom alecha adam, if someone tells you, shteyem michubarim, both of them are organically connected, al tamim, don't believe them. Yoshru shteyem, both of them again come together in some sort of unity, al tamim, don't believe them. Charva zo v'yoshra zo, one is down and the other is up. Tamin, then you should believe them. She'ena achas mismales ele mechur ben chaverto. One is always on the up and the other is always on the down. I don't know if all of you are familiar with a fascinating toy, I guess I can call it, that we grew up on. It's called the seesaw. A seesaw is essentially a board, madaf, and it's obviously on a hinge. And then, generally speaking, one person who's either stronger or a bit heavier, he sits on it. The other one is all the way up, and he can't come down. I remember when we were young children, so we used to play with the seesaw, and perhaps I was a bit heavier than my brothers, so I was always down, they always were up, which wasn't to their liking or satisfaction. So when the star of one rises, the other one falls. One of the two is always sitting on top. There's a constant jockeying for hegemony. And that's the relationship between Yaakov and Esav. So now I would like to examine the course of the shiur, vignettes of that struggle, and attempt to paint a picture of these two personalities, of Yaakov and Esav as individuals, and the characteristic features they radiated to Am Yisrael and to Edom. Their odyssey begins prior to birth, dramatically described in Perek Lamed Hei of Pirkei Avot Avraham. on the pasuk Michra Kayom es Bechora Sechali, when in effect Yaakov Avinu asked Esav to sell the birthright to him. So I'll translate from the Lashon HaKodesh of the Pirkei Av Elazar. Our sages say, when Yaakov and Esav were in their mother's womb, Yaakov said to Esav, my brother, there are two worlds before us. There's Olam Hazeh, this world, and Olam Haba, the world to come. This world is characterized by achila, by shtia, by eating, by drinking, business, marriage, having children. The world to come, the Olam Haba, is devoid of all these elements. And so in effect, Yaakov said to Esav, if you wish, you can take this world, Olam Hazeh, as your share, and I'll take Olam Haba as my share. And that's how the Medrash understands the pasuk, Michra Kayom es Bechayra Sechali. And the Medrash continues. At that moment, says the Medrash, I'm translating from the Lashon HaKodesh of the Pirkei Av Elazar, that they were ensconced in the womb of their mother. Esav became a kofer, became a heretic, and denied the notion of Tchiyas HaMeisim. He denied the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. Esav said, Hinei Anochi Holech Lamus B'lamaz Ali B'chora, I'm going to die, so what do I need this birthright? At that moment, the Medrash concludes, Esav took his share in Olam Hazeh in this world, and Yaakov took his share in Olam Haba, the world to come. Let's examine some of the characteristic streaks of the personality of Esav. During the period when Rivka carried Yaakov and Esav, she was told b'nevuah, she was told prophetically, Shnei goyim bevitnech, u'shnei le'umim mime'ayich yiparedu, u'la'om milom ye'emotz v'rab ya'avod sa'ir. There are two nations, two worlds, Rivka was told, within you, and there's going to be a struggle. V'rab ya'avod sa'ir. The older one is going to be subjugated to the younger. V'yetzeh harishon adboni kulo ki'adera se'er, the Torah says that in terms of physiognomy, they were markedly different. Perhaps even they can be described as antithetical. Esav is kulo ki'adera se'er, hirsute, admoni, of ruddy demeanor, similar to the way Chazal described in the Medrash, David HaMelech. The term Aleph Dalet Vav Men can be interpreted, I once heard Rav Soloveitchik many years ago said that Edom reminds him of a kind of blonde individual. He compared it to the German eye, deep, bottomless, cruel. Esav was physically mature. He radiated, he conveyed the impression that he knew what he wanted and he knew how to acquire it. A proactive, aggressive kind of personality. Vayigdalu hanorim, the pasuk says. They, after bar mitzvah, vayi Esav ish yodea tzayin ish sodeh, v'yakov ish tam yoshevu alim. The language of ish sayid, a hunter, immediately conjures up, at least in my mind, the personality of Nimrod. The Torah also describes him in similar terms. The pasuk says, with reference to Nimrod, Hu heichel liyos gibor ba'aretz. He was one of those valiant kind of gentlemen, a strong person, Hu hayah gibor tzayir lefnei Hashem. Al ken yeyomar ki Nimrod, gibor tzayir lefnei Hashem. A hunter, professionally, is an individual, usually full of courage. He's emboldened to trap, to kill. He has to be strong. He has to be efficient. He has to be goal-oriented. What he undertakes to do is realized. However, his profession is fraught with tension, excitement, and great danger. As a matter of fact, the Rashbam, in a famous comment on the pasuk of when Esav articulated that message, Hinei Anochi Holech Lamus, V'lamaz Ali B'chora, so the Rashbam notes in the name of his grandfather, Rashi, that Esav despaired of acquiring the Bechorah simply because a hunter, professionally, he was afraid he would not merit longevity, namely from an actuarial standpoint, due to the danger inherent in that profession. And he would die even before his father. Parenthetically, partially based on this Rashbam, the Nevi Yehuda, Rabbi Cheskel Landau, the Rav in Prague, in a celebrated tshuva, cites this Rashbam. It's quoted actually by the Pischei Tshuva in Yerodea that enjoins us from engaging in hunting for sport, something which is very popular again in Europe. I don't know about Johannesburg. I imagine it's a European mindset. We know it from the aristocrats in England. And the reason the Nadi Yehuda indicates this to us, because there's an element of pikuach nefesh. One is placing his life in great jeopardy, and he cites this Rashbam on the Pasuk here. So Esav is an Ish Tzai, Ish Sadeh. Essentially, he's the quintessence of the bracha that he ultimately received, which was Al Char Bechotichya. Esav lives by the sword. He demonstrated heroism and gallantry in trying to control his environment. He's not afraid of confrontation. On the contrary, he relishes the opportunity to confront nature, to catch a bird, to trap an animal. Of course, he has a keenly developed sixth sense for the animal or for any predator who potentially could tear him apart. His life is a struggle, an ongoing, constant struggle between himself and the elements about him. Esav is not a coward. Esav is the Ish Sadeh that tries to uncover the secrets of the scientific world. He represents modern civilization, research laboratories. He's not fazed by the failures of experimentation. He continues to experiment with tenacity, with stubbornness. So there's an element of Esav that is of significance. In sharp contradistinction to Esav is Yaakov Avinu, described by the Torah as Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim. He doesn't venture into the fields. His primary interest is not millions of light years away, galaxies that have not yet been explored, but he sits and meditates. He's more contemplative, more reflective, more cerebral kind of life. How can I improve my life and come closer to the Borei Olam, to my Creator? He wasn't physically complete as Esav, but was interested in constant self-improvement and constant growth. Why did Yitzhak like Esav? And there's a lot of discussion among the Dolei Rishonim whether Yitzhak was aware of Esav's proclivities or not aware of them, but he liked Esav because he was always recounting his accomplishments. I discovered something new today, kitzayin b'fiv, something new from his mouth, if I can interpret it homiletically. Yitzhak felt that Esav possessed the requisite qualities to lead the household of Avraham Avinu. Rivka liked Esav as well. Mothers like all their children. Sometimes fathers have a certain kind of bias. Rivka and Yitzhak disagreed as to the moral code that would be indispensable for transmitting the message of Avraham Avinu. The Torah, in order that it wanted to underscore the irreconcilable uniqueness of Esav and Yaakov, tells us the story of the Bechorah that also involved the Kahuna, a veritable avoda, the way that we shown him, the Ramban and others interpret. Esav visualized the Bechorah as valueless. He looked at it with contempt. The way the Ramban describes in his Perush al HaTorah on the Pasuk, Vayivez Esav es HaBechorah. Very strong language utilized, says the Ramban, quoting a Pasuk in Mishlei, Boz ledavar yechaveh lo. Esav essentially did not see any value. And the Ramban writes at the end of that small passage, Kein chefetz baksilim, rak sheyochlu b'yishtu b'yasu chetzam b'itam, v'le'achushu l'yom machar. So Rivka Imenu felt that Esav cannot represent the heritage of Avraham Avinu. He was denuded of spirituality. Esav, according to the Ramban, essentially what the Ramban says in that short but very powerful statement, Esav personifies the individual who seeks only short-term and immediate gratification. His desires must be fulfilled and satisfied immediately, or he'll be frustrated and bored. He suffers from severe ennui, a fatigue born of constant battle and tension with the natural elements. The Torah comments that on that day that the Sudas Havroah was had for the Petira of Avraham Avinu, Vayavo Esav min Asodeh v'hu Oyef. Esav came from the field and he was tired. The Medrash comments that that day he committed five heinous crimes. Avinu B'chaye, in his Perush Al HaTorah, lays out the crimes that were committed by Esav, whom Chazal, the Gemara in Kedushin, calls him a Shuman, has an element of rishus to him. And here we have five very egregious crimes that Avinu B'chaye cites. Ba'osa Yom says Avinu B'chaye, Yatzo the Tarbus Ra, Chamish Averos Avar Osa Rasha Ba'osa Yom. Baal Nara Marasa, he was involved in Rachmana Litzlan, sexual immorality, Haragas HaNefesh, involved in fratricide, denied the resurrection of the dead, denied the existence of Hashem Yisbarach, and despised the Bechora. Chazal derived this exegetically from all types of psukim. The translation of that pasuk, I would like to translate it again in a homiletic way, in light of what we described about the personality of Esav. Esav was tired of life. And now the Torah describes the following dialogue between Esav and Yaakov. Vayom Esav and Yaakov, haliteini no. What an expression. Rashi, Chazal have a lot to say about this expression. In general, the Torah uses such expressions that are so pungent and so charismatic and so saturated with meaning. Rashi quotes from a famous Mishnah in Shabbos, Haliteini eftach pi ushvoch harbe litocha. He cites the famous Mishnah, Ein eifsin es agomo, ava mal itin oisai. And also, the expression of Haliteini is one that clearly should immediately conjure up a certain kind of mindset. Chazal tell us that Daskin Balei HaTosfos quotes it on the spot. That day, he skirmished with Nimrod. He killed Nimrod. Again, as I mentioned earlier, the parallel between Nimrod and Esav is clear. They're both Giborei Tzayid. Why did he kill Nimrod? Because Nimrod challenged his authority to hunt, since he was the ruler of the forest, as it were, and Esav killed him. But there are two striking expressions I would like to accentuate in this pasuk. The first is Haliteini, as Rashi explained. Pour the pot of lentils down my throat. The scenario that the Torah is trying to depict is a physically and mentally drained individual whom the Ramban notes is the classical Zolel Vesobe, glutton, whose only thought is the present moment of satiating his ravenous appetite, and in his frenzied madness can sell the birthright, an invaluable asset, for a pot of lentils. Sometimes even we, who are sentient human beings, we have moments of madness, we engage in folly, and we exchange sometimes, hopefully not often, an Olam Shel Netzach, a world of destiny of eternity, for a Olam Chalef Ve'Iver, for an evanescent and transient pot of lentils. That's one language that one should be cognizant of. The second language is also to me striking. The second word after Haliteini. Haliteini no. What is the nature of that term used by the Torah? The word no has many connotations, but it also means, among the many connotations, one of them that's not often recognized sufficiently, Haliteini no, I want it now, without delay. Again, a demand for instant gratification. Esav's needs and desires have to be satisfied, as my father Al-Sham would say, not mañana, but pronto. A bit of the Spanish that I acquired in La Ciudad de Nueva York. There's no vision, there's no willingness to wait or to examine the long-term consequences of my actions. So then we have the testimony of the Torah in a series of short staccato verbs that are fascinating. Whenever the Torah presents this kind of pattern, there's what to be derived from it. V'Yaakov nosam le'Esav lechem unezir adashim. Yaakov gave Esav bread and the lentil soup. Vayochal, vayesh, vayokom, vayelach, vayives. What a series of verbs. And the Ramban there comments, as I mentioned, that Esav had no time. He ate, he drank, he got up, he went, he despised. Once he was sated, he despised the Bechorah. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, my Rebbe, always noted the stark contrast in the Haggadah Shel Pesach between Yaakov and Esav. Hashem Yisbarach promised Esav Har Seir. And right away, the promise is realized. Va'etein le'Esav es Har Seir, la'resh es oso. What about Yaakov Avinu? We were promised Eretz Yisrael. And yet, what does the Baal Haggadah tell us? The Yaakov Avinu of Yerodim Mitzrayim. We have to wait and wait and wait. We have to demonstrate forbearance. We have to demonstrate emunah and the Bari Elam. We won't reject Hashem Yisbarach, even though promises are made to us and were not carried out forthwith. Esav, however, miyad, has to be recognized and the promises to him have to be fulfilled. And Hashem rushes to expedite the fulfillment of those promises. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal once noted beautifully in the beginning of Toldos, the first pasuk is again so striking. Ve'ele Toldos Yitzchok ben Avram, Avram holiness Yitzchok. Seemingly repetitive, completely repetitive, tautological from every standpoint. Ve'ele Toldos Yitzchok ben Avram, these are the generations of Yitzchok, the son of Avram. And a moment later, Avram holiness Yitzchok. Why does the Torah seemingly employ language that's superfluous? So our salvation distinguishes between two genres of toldos. Regarding Esav and Yishmael, the Torah has at great length described to us the alufim of Esav, the alufim of Yishmael. So that toldos connotes biological continuity, generation after generation. Regarding the avos, toldos is a completely different concept, bequeathing a spiritual legacy, not just of biological nature, father to son, but preeminently a masorah of Rebbe to Talmud. And that Rebbe-Talmud relationship was at the heart of the yachas between Avram and Yitzchok, between Yitzchok and Yaakov, described by the Rambam at great length in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. When we examine the relationship between Yaakov and Esav in light of this new interpretation based on the word no, I would like to continue and explore this a bit further. In the Pasha of Vayishlach, there again, the term occurs and recurs any number of times. When Esav and Yaakov have that dramatic encounter after a hiatus of many years, of course, there's much trepidation on the part of Yaakov Avinu before his encounter with Esav. Chazal tell us he prepared himself l'doron l'tfila l'milchama. The term Hagosha, which is found three times in Tanakh, in the context of these three approaches with Eliyahu HaNavi, found in Vayigash, with Yosef and Yehuda, also found over here between Esav and Yaakov. So Esav is about to meet Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov demonstrates obeisance to Esav, showers him with deferential presence, appears with all his entourage. And then Esav poses the following question. He asks Yaakov Avinu, "Mi lecha kol ha-machane hazeh asher pagoshti?" Why this entire entourage? Vayomer, Yaakov responds, "Limtzo chen b'eini Adoni." I wanted to find favor in your eyes. Vayomer Esav, "Yesh li rav, ochi yehi lecha shelach." That which you have, you should maintain. And now the following conversation ensues. Vayomer Yaakov, "Al no, im no, matzasi chen beinecha." What is the nature of the use of that language? And Yaakov tells Esav, "V'lakachta minchasi miyadi." I would like you to take the mincha that I am offering you. "Ki al kein ra'isi fanecha, ki ros penei Elokim batirtzeini." When I see you, your visage is if I see the panim of Hashem Yisbarach. And there's ritzui. And then again, the Torah, the third time, "Kach no es birchasi." Why the repetitive use of that term? "Kach no es birchasi asher hu baslach ki chanani Elokim chi yeshi kol." Take what I'm offering you. I have everything. And then another suggestion on the part of Esav. "Vayomen nisa v'neilecha v'neilcha l'negecha." Let's travel together. Let's join. Let's bond our families. So Yaakov Avinu, in a very wise kind of fashion, but with all the possible caution and circumspection that one could possibly bring to the fore tells Esav, Adoni yodea ki ha'iladim rakim v'atzon v'abakar alot aloi. I have children that are very young, and I have flock. It's not possible. Utfokum yom echad, if I travel, you're someone who's a man of the world. You are obviously zoriz, energetic, full of energy, and the like. I can't possibly keep up with you. Your pace and my pace are two totally different approaches. Yavor no Adoni lefne Abdo. This is the fourth time that expression is used. What is the Torah trying to tell us? Vani esnalo liiti, and I will go at my own pace. Leregel amlocha shelofonai, uleregel hayolodim an asher avol Adoni Seira. So Esav responds to that and tells Yaakov Avinu, Vayomer Esav, atziga no imcha. The fifth time that expression is used. Minam asher iti. Vayomer, Yaakov says to him, Lama ze'em tzachein b'eini Adoni. And then the Torah tells us that each one went their own way. Yaakov halach ledarko, Esav goes back Seira. So I would like to interpret the language of no that recurs many times in this context. Simply interpreted, one could say the term no means there's a politeness, there's a refinement, there's a civility in the conversation between Yaakov and Esav. But the term no, as I indicated earlier, can also connote the sense of immediacy, the here and the now. I think a classic example found in the Hallel, in Tehillim, Ona Hashem Hoshia No. We want the Yeshua to be right now, without delay. Or in the Tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu for his sister, for Miriam, Ona Kel No Refah No Lo. So perhaps Yaakov Avinu was suggesting to Esav, our Velcham, our Hashkafic world, yours and mine are totally irreconcilable. Your philosophy is based on no, immediate gratification, now, or what's called in Hebrew, Achshaviyut. My destiny is one that's linked with forbearance, says Yaakov to Esav, Al no, I can't travel with that philosophy of no. This, of course, is homiletics, but Baruch Hashem, I'm a Rav, and that's what we do. Namely, I cannot travel with immediate gratification, a sybaritic existence that thrives in the thrill of the here and the now, but rather, Yavor no Adoni lifnei Abdo, vani esnaha lo liiti. Yaakov Avinu says to Esav, I travel laat laat. Leregel amlocha shelofonai, uleregel hayelodim, ad asher ovor Adoni Seira. My sense of history, says Yaakov Avinu, is not a straight course. It's full of zigzags. Aliyot umaradot. I cannot countenance a straight course with a clear, precise path. But Esav is a persistent, tenacious fella, and he makes one last effort to effect some rapprochement, some reconciliation with Yaakov Avinu. Vayomer Esav, atziga na imcha. Again, he also utilizes the expression of na. Says Esav, I have an element within me that can also partake of your philosophy. But Yaakov Avinu realizes that there's an abyss, there's a chasm that somehow cannot be bridged, philosophic, ideologic, between himself and Esav. So Yaakov Avinu politely but firmly refuses the overtures of Esav. Vayosha bayomahu Esav lidarko seira. V'Yaakov nosa sukosa. The home of Esav is Seira. Hein Esav achi is Soir. Soir, of course, is the antonym, the opposite of Ish Cholok. The Targum translates Cholok as Lashon Shin Ayin Shi. Shi, actually, in halachic terminology in Yerodea, glass is Shi. There's no Blia. That there's no absorption in glass. A question in halacha, what the status of glass is in terms of kashering it and the like. So Esav is ish chalak. He's smooth. Yaakov Avinu is ish chalak. Namely, he's smooth, he's glatt. Mashenkev Esav is ish soyer, duplicitous. Ein tocho kubaro. Esav does not have the patience, doesn't have the forbearance, doesn't have the zitzflesh, the sense of historical panoramic vision to wait and confront the ups and downs of the historical forces. His quest is for naught, immediate resolution, immediate gratification, and that's an overriding factor with reference to Esav. There's another quality of Esav that I alluded to a moment ago, in stark contrast to that of Yaakov. Besides the antithetical elements that Yaakov's the ishtam, or to put it in halachic terminology, tohu kubaro, his inner personality and outer manifestations are totally identical and merge. There's no hypocritical behavior. There's no echad bepeh v'echad belev. Ishtam is the one who doesn't act with guile. The lashon of the Targum translates, often people mistakenly translate tam as a simpleton. I remember years ago, in the early Haggadahs that were translated into English, Tam Mahu Omer. I have even a Haggadah somewhere. I have to find it. There was a game, Simple Simon, when we grew up. I don't know if anyone remembers that game. So they translate Tam Mahu Omer. What does Simple Simon say? Chas v'shalom, no connection to our esteemed president, Rachmana Litzlan. In the language of the Targum, Gavra Shlim, Gavra Sholem. That's what an ishtam is. Adam HaSholem. I remember at Bar Mitzvahs I used to attend, so the Rabbanim used to say, you should be Adam, Ish, Yehudi Sholem. That's what everyone should be, a Bar Mitzvah Bacher. Rashi, interestingly enough, translates Yaakov ishtam, Eino Boki B'Chalele, Kalibo Kein Piv, and Esav is the very antithesis. Rashi translates Yodea Tzayin, Lotzu to the Ramos is Ovid Bifib. Vishoyelen, Abba, Hech Masu Nesamelach, Viesateven, Sovir Ovid Shu Bedakti Bimitzis. This needs a lot of explication, but we used to call it the Rabbeim that I had, Falsche Frumkeit, Mezucht Frumkeit, Mezucht Chumris. Won't get into that right now. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah records that Lasi Lavo, the Gemara in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, many empires, including the Roman Empire, Edom is the Roman Empire, Esav will appear before Hashem Yisbarach and argue that all the construction, all the technology, all the architectural feats, all the aqueducts they built were all constructed, designed to enhance the role of Klal Yisrael. That's what they're going to argue in the Bezen Shalmada. So the Gemara says, Omalem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the conversation, what were you involved in? And they respond, Harbe Shvokim Tikninu, Harbe Mechetzo Sosinu, Harbe Kesev Ezov Hirbinu. But what did we do all this for? V'kulam Lasinu Ela Mishul Yisrael V'shiyasasku BaTorah. It was all in order to enhance the status of Klal Yisrael. We should be involved in the study of Torah. Omalem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shaitim Shemailam, you fools, you bumbling, doddering fools. Everything you did was for your own self-aggrandizement. And the Gemara goes on to describe it, why they constructed, what they built. There's a very fascinating comment to the Brisker Rav Zatzal. One of the most well-known commentaries of the Brisker Rav. I heard this from his nephew, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, many, many times. It's actually in the parish of the Chiddush HaGriz al HaTorah. That's where it's found. The obvious question is, why did Hashem respond with this kind of response? Shaitim Shema'ilam. What he should have said was, Shakronim. You prevaricators, you liars, outright liars. How can they make such a statement? So the Brisker Rav, in a whole shtickel teira, goes on to indicate that they weren't in any way lying. They were telling the truth. The way Rashi quotes and the Ramban brings to the beginning of Bereshis, namely, Bereshis Bar Elokim, Mishvil HaTorah Shenikra Sveishis, Mishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis. The Pasuk in Yemayol, the Navi says, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tivuasoi. And the Torah is also called Hashem Kononi Reishis Darko. The way the Chazal described in the Zohar and elsewhere, the Torah is the blueprint. The entire world was created with that blueprint. That's what Hashem Yisbarach used as his architectural blueprint. The Torah, the Gemara has in the Doran and Chazal and Medrash, that the Torah preceded the Bria Sa'ilam. So in effect, the entire world was created for Klal Yisrael, created for the Torah. I once approached Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal in Boston, where we were able to speak to him a bit more freely without all the fear and consternation that we had in New York City at the Shir. And I asked him, this is during the Vietnam War, and I was actually at that time in the process of perhaps being drafted to Vietnam. And I had absolutely no interest in going to Vietnam and getting involved with the Viet Cong. Wasn't exactly my cup of tea. So I asked Rav Soloveitchik, what's the pshat in the Gemara? Ein melchama ba le'olam ela b'shul Yisrael, the Gemara Yevamos. And this Gemara actually is found, essentially is based on a pasuk in Tzfanya, quoted by Rashi three times in Tanakh. What exactly is that? So he interpreted that entire Gemara in light of this briskerov. Everything is essentially directed, revolving around Klal Yisrael. And the Drash HaSaran also has a lengthy discussion on the Psukim Mitzvanya. It's found in Rashi and Pashas Vo'era in Sefer Shmos. And also Rashi, two other places, alludes to this, but Rav Soloveitchik cited his uncle, who indicated, based on a Rambam in the Hakdamah to Pir Shemeshnayis, the Rambam speaks about an individual who's wandering the desert, a tzaddik, and he's thirsty and he's parched, and suddenly there's an oasis. And that oasis was never uncovered by anyone. And it's clear that oasis was created dafka for this tzaddik wandering in the desert, based on the Pasuk in Iyo, where the Navi says, Yok, that the Russia is going to prepare, and the tzaddik is the one who's going to be benefiting, is going to be nene from that which the Russia prepared. So, in effect, the entire world revolves around the Torah. Revolves around Klal Yisrael and Ein Melchama Ba Le'olam Ela B'Shul Yisrael. So Rav Soloveitchik interpreted that Gemara in Yevamos. Back, as my father would say, back to the ranch, back to the topic at hand, namely Yaakov and Esav. So the Ari HaKadosh is known to have knowledge what's called Chochmas HaParzuf, a Kabbalistic notion. You can look at a person and tell exactly Avu Halter in the Welt, where is he holding? You can see his pnimius. That's why I'm always very frightened to be in the presence of tzaddikin. Who knows if I come in their presence, who knows what they'll see? And they can look right through you. I remember I was zecher to meet a number of times a going to Pchatzko Levenstein Zatzal, the Mashgiach of Panovich. I went to get a bracha from him in Panovich. I used to go to Shurim in Panovich all the time, once a week. They were all the Gdeli Yisrael here, Rav Shach Zatzal, and Avshalom Rozovsky Zatzal, and others. And so I went to Abchatsko, I heard one of his shmuzin, and then I went over to him to get a bracha. And he asked me, do you learn Torah b'hasmada? And certainly I couldn't answer that question positively. And so I didn't say anything. So he looks at me with those fiery eyes that could see right through you. And he asked, Milendish Torah b'hasmada u'mizucht abracha? You don't learn Torah b'asmada and you expect a bracha? I ran for my life. So Abchatsko Levenstein was a very fiery personality. You probably could see right through you. So Rashi quotes from Chazal, and this is how the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechaya, many be shown and interpret that the Torah tells us right before the bracha that was given by Yitzhak, of course, to Yaakov and not to Esav, "Vatichena eino meros." Why were his eyes dim? So the Ramban has several explanations. Generally, once a person becomes older, so that can happen physically. But it's clear that Yitzhak Avinu was blessed from Hashem Yisbarach. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pasuk says at the end of Sefer Dvarim, Lochasa eino v'lonos lecho. Nothing was dim in Moshe Rabbeinu. The same could have happened with Yitzhak Avinu. So the Medrash that the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechaye, many we show them, quote, it was all designed from above, in order that Yaakov should be the one who received the bracha. And perhaps the Yaakov, in effect, became the recipient of the bracha. Rivka Imenu saw it b'nevuah. She, through prophetic vision, she recognized that Yaakov was the one roy to get bracha. But sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in effect, shields information deliberately from individuals. And Yaakov Avinu, in effect, received the bracha. Vatichena eino meros. Yitzhak could no longer see, was not aware of who was whom, and that was the divine plan. So Yitzhak was blinded, perhaps both physically, perhaps spiritually as well. And the proof can be adduced in the fact that the moment Yaakov Avinu left the abode of Yitzhak, It was so synchronized, unbelievably synchronized, divine synchronization. And Rashi as well cites the Medrash. Say Chazal, when Yaakov Avinu was with him, he saw Gan Eden. The moment Esav arrived, Chazal say, Ro Gehenim Psuchim Mitachtav. He felt a dread, a sense of Gehenim. At that moment, Hashem Yisbarach lifted the veil from Yitzhak. And the bracha, of course, was given to Yaakov Avinu, the bracha, Birchas Abram. And later on, it was affirmed by Yaakov Avinu, Gam Baruch Yiyah, later on in the Pasha. So we have a very strong contrast between Yaakov Avinu and Esau that emerges from this Pasha. But as I indicated, there is another side to Esau, almost a kind of schizophrenia, perhaps, that one could detect here in Esau. The Pasuk tells us, Vayerav Yitzhak es Esau kitzayit befiv. Chazal tell us that Esau had two very significant schuyot that cannot be taken away from him. He's the paradigmatic example of Kibbutz Avaim. Esav served his father attired in Bigdei Chamudos, in royal garb, Bigdei Yomtev. The Medrash cites, or Shimon Gamliel as stating, that he didn't minister to his father not even one-tenth of what Esav did to Yitzhak Avinu. The Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, Ein lecha adam she'en lo shoa. That Shah of Esav came to the fore with his exemplary Kibbutz Avaim. And that's perhaps what Yitzhak saw and admired. Vayehav Yitzhak es Esav kitzayin befiv. Perhaps the Torah is underscoring the Kibbutz Avaim of Esav. The Paradis Yosef quotes a story about the author of the Medrash Shmuel on Pirkei Avos. He once visited the Ari HaKadosh as a very young man. Medrash Shmuel is absolutely, I can only describe him as wondrous. Pilei Poyim. What a perish on Pirkei Avos. Of course, you need a lot of time to study it. My father, Hashem, was very into that sefer. Medrash Shmuel on Pirkei Avos, we used to study it in the summertime very carefully. So he came to the Ari HaKadosh as a very young man. The Ari HaKadosh stood up for him. Meloi Kaimasa. So Abchaim Vital, the Talmud Muvik of the Ari HaKadosh, he asked his Rebbe, Mai Hai. What's the nature of this kind of behavior towards a very young man? And the Ari HaKadosh answered that with his presence, he saw when the Medrash Shmuel entered his room, he was accompanied none other by the neshama of Rav Pinchas ben Yair. So the Ari HaKadosh explained that when a person performs a great act, whatever it may be, he's escorted by a great tzaddik. So Rav Chaim Vital asked his Rebbe, what did the Baal Medrash Shmuel do? And he answered, that day that he came to see me, he met an impoverished individual who was unclad, who had no clothing, and the Medrash Shmuel immediately gave him his own garment. And therefore, when he came to the Ari HaKadosh, he was accompanied by a Pinchas ben Yoreh. So too, when Esav performed the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avaim, the Shechina hovered over Esav. On the Pasuk, Vayehav Yitzhak es Esav kitzayit befiv, the Targum translates, Ari mitzido hu ochel. And as Esau brought his father all kinds of succulent dishes, we're initially baffled by what seems to be against the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. Ava hatluya bedavar. That's what the Mishnah speaks about, something which is not ideal. Batel davar betela ava. But when one examines and considers the midah of hakaras hatov in all of its profundity, which is the foundation of Kibbutz Avaim, then al kol pshoyim techase ava. One can understand how Yitzhak saw an Esav, the Kibbutz Avaim, and he viewed him in a completely different light. There's another quality to Esav that's also worthy of note. Chazal speak about, of course, Esav and his connection to Eretz Yisrael. But I would like to underscore another aspect of Esav. And in this respect, Esav is in marked contrast to Lavan. When I compare the two, I always come to the following conclusion. Lavan, whom, by the way, if you take the letters Lamed, Beis, Nun, and invert them, it's Naval. And that's already mentioned in Svarim, Akdoshim. Lavan is a shyster. He's conniving. He's manipulative. He's full of avarice, full of greed. His entire modus operandi is the very antithesis of Kedusha. Lavan has no respect for Kedusha. Lavan will do anything to squelch Kedusha. Esav, however, in marked contradistinction, personally doesn't want to lead a life of Kedusha, but he understands it, he relates to it, he can appreciate it, he can even respect the individual who personifies Kedusha. So why did Hashem desire that there be this ongoing tension between Yaakov and Esav? And several hypotheses generally are offered to explain it. Number one, so that Yaakov not stray from the Derech HaTorah. Esav serves as a kind of lightning rod. He's a kind of cat of nine tails to keep Yaakov on the straight and narrow. Vis-a-vis Esav, the pasuk speaks about an eternal hatred. Uviyav rosoi shomra netzach. This is in Amos, in Perek Aleph, pasuk Yud Aleph. Hello, Esav, the pasuk says, Halacha, Esav Seini Es Yaakov. The Netziv has a very beautiful kuntras he wrote on anti-Semitism. It's actually found originally in the back of his parish on Shir HaShirim, but now it's been published as a separate kuntras. What a classic essay on this statement of Chazal, Halacha Esav Seini Es Yaakov. Esav is a kind of control group for Yaakov to make sure that Yaakov stays in order. A second possible hypothesis, who implanted into us the ability to withstand the long night of Golos throughout the millennia that I began with? So, Chafetz Chaim Zatzal speaks a lot about this. Va'avdil eschem min ha'amim li'os li. So when Klal Yisrael are nivdal in our hashkofa, in our way of life, in our behavior, so of course, matov v'madoyim, says the Chafetz Chaim, be'im miskarvim la'goyim, if we come close to the non-Jewish world, adopt their mores, adopt their hashkofa, adopt their culture, then va'avdil eschem, Hashem is then going to take action to literally keep us away from the non-Jewish world. That action, Nachmana Litzlan, could often involve anti-Semitism, could involve all types of terrible internecine quarrels between ourselves and the Umos HaElam. The Beis HaLevi, in his Perish Al HaTorah, has a lengthy discussion about this topic. He speaks about the only Shevet that was medakdek to hold on to the Bris Milah, of course, the Shevet Levi. The pasuk says at the end of Sefer Dvarim, but there were many who wanted to somehow assimilate, acculturate with the Egyptian society. They wanted to get closer to the Egyptians. So the pasuk says, "Hafach libam lisna yisai." Namely, this is the key of the pasuk in this week's parsha. "V'hoya kasher torid ufarakta ulo mi'al tzavarecha." So often the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to maintain the integrity of Klal Yisrael and does so by sicking the Umos HaOlam against us when we become too close to what they're all about. We live in a generation today, Baruch Hashem, the Torah community certainly has grown exponentially, both numbers-wise and in terms of Shiurim. And yet at the same time, we have spawned the generation sometimes of individuals who are, even though their learning prowess is great, but often there's at the same time an orgy of the senses. And that seems to be in marked contrast to a generation of youth who have made Torah a growth industry and utilizing the high tech of the computer age as its ally. And certainly during the Corona Tkufa that we're in, there's no question the Ribbono Shel Olam, according to Lefi Aniyus Dati, created the refuah before the makkah, that the medication came about in sufficient time that we could utilize it, hopefully the Shem Shamayim, with all the relevant safeguards that are required. And yet, despite all of the positives, we're not necessarily all the time producing Gedolei Yisrael, largely because, in my humble opinion, the concept of Yegiyah and Amalei Shel Torah has, to a certain extent, dissipated, been lost. Today, we can extrapolate from the world of the senses, lahavdil, to the Torah world. Of course, I'm not opposed to the proliferation of all these Torah tapes. And today we live in Torah cyberspace. Those who have the capacity, I'm not one of them, unfortunately, but those who have the capacity to utilize it and to be nana from it and to benefit from it, all the range of the art school availabilities, all the Torah programs, walking through shas with computers, it's right in front of us. Shulchan Aruch lefaneinu. However, it also has, in some respects, dramatically curtailed and almost squelched our ability to develop indigenous critical thinking skills. The toil and the effort associated with the enterprise of Amal Shel Torah leaves something to be desired. Often we're feeding our youth on a diet of what I like to call strawberry shortcake technology. And the bread and butter has been neglected. The basics are no longer there. There's an element of Esav in this aforementioned approach, if I can now utilize and extrapolate from the drasha that I gave. It's the need for instant gratification. But of course, in the area of Torah, what could be more wonderful than that? I want to instantly become Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I want to instantly go through the entire corpus of Shas in 1 or 2 years. I want to instantly master all of Tanakh in its depth, in its breadth. But I want to do it in a short period of time. That's the handiwork of Esav. That's not the handiwork of Yaakov. Instant gratification. As Lahavdil, instant Torah acquisition, is the motto, is the talisman of Esav, is the talisman of the Yetzer Hara. So I think one of the very significant lessons that I would like to articulate that I think we should learn, even from Esav, there's what to learn. We mentioned he has some wonderful qualities. The reverence for Kedusha. We see how much he wanted the bracha. We see his connection to Eretz Yisrael. We see he doesn't want to live a life of Kedusha, but he understands that there's tremendous value to it. Let's not be misled by slogans, by advertising, by all the hype, by the glitz and glitter, by the sound bites, by the quickie shortcuts, by the takeout pizza shop, by the Chapanash Judaism. To a large extent, that's what our generation has become. Judaism is not simply, as I mentioned, the way the Ramban described Esav, Vayochal, Vayesh, Vayokom, Vayelach. It's much deeper. It's much profounder. It's based on not the philosophy of Noah, but Vani Esna Lo Li'iti, L'Regel Hamlocha Shelefonai, Ulavegal Hayalodim Arasha Ovol Adoni Seira. It can only be acquired by the modus operandi of the Ishtam Yeshiv Oholim, Ole Tera, Ole Shem Vaever, Ole Bate Medvish, Bate Knesset. Halavai that all of us should follow the prescription that the Gemara says in Masechas Nida, Harotze Lahachkim Yarbe Bi Yeshiva, that one has to literally become. The term that they use, I'm not sure it's always such a positive term, a bench kvetcher. One has to sit. One has to be marbe b'yeshiva. But at the same time, one has to ask Hashem Yisbarach for siyata d'shmaya, the halavai. Our model should be the Yaakov Ishtom Yeshiva Holim. If we follow that model, no doubt we will come to eventually v'olu moshim b'hartzion lishvot esav esav v'oysel Hashem hamlucha and we'll be zoche Halavai Bekorov to Mashiach Tzikenu B'mher B'yameinu Amen V'yamein.
Could Esav have been one of the Avot?
I cannot hear you clearly. I'm sorry.